On the third day of drunks, Miss my true love gave to me three Wakanda forever, two episodes,
not additions,
and a one sentence story from Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Drunksmas, day three, brought to you by the power and effervescence of the half hour happy hour with Allison and Alex.
And Tom.
I mainly think the effervescence is what keeps us stayed together.
Are you going to say your name?
I'm Alex Albrecht.
I'm Allison Hayslip. And for the next 30-ish minutes, we're going to sip some booze and spit some news in your face. We're sipping a lot of booze. I'm on drink three and shot one.
I'm on drink three and shot one. We got to do shots again.
We need more shots.
We need more
shots.
Who are
more shots?
I shouldn't have said that.
You shouldn't have said shat.
Because you, damn it. Allison's getting a little more buzzed than we are right now, Alex.
Which is great.
Yeah. So maybe we got,
which is great.
What was the thing that we got? We got bourbon sent to us,
yeah,
right?
No, it's real good. It's real sexy.
That was real sexy.
Are we doing another one of those?
The swirling dervish.
Yes, we will.
We should. Maybe
we'll do it during the break, maybe.
Let's take a break in the middle.
Not right
now.
We literally just started the episode. We're going to wait.
We just started the episode.
Yes. Oh, and we need to get through this episode because our guests already arrived. We're a little behind. Listen, make yourself at home. Have all the donuts and
all
cupcakes
food,
you want.
Whatever
we're
going
to get through this episode. We're going to get to you in 30-ish minutes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Great.
Thank you.
But speaking of our guest on this episode, someone who's become a very, very quick and loyal friend of the show and is also quite easily my parents' favorite person.
Oh,
and I say that knowing that they have two kids.
Yeah. There's a lot of proof of this.
I know. It is Lethal Weapon's own Jonathan Fernandez.
Hey!
I ask about your parents just as much as I ask about my own parents.
You do. And he asks about my parents quite a bit, so he's clearly a very good son to his own parents.
Yeah, when the hurricane went through, I was like, I texted you right away, and I was like, how are your parents?
No, when Thanksgiving rolled around, he was like, okay, so what are the jobs for all the Hayslips? Yeah. And I told him.
So he forwarded me an email from the
That's
family.
Amazing.
And I read it all, and I was like, this is an incredible spreadsheet you guys got.
Yes. No, there was a, I mean, my brother is my brother, so he's very much like,
so
you're all getting your jobs.
Jobs?
Yes.
I feel like you didn't mention this part of the...
Oh, hold on. I'll pull up the email because it really
is
that.
So it was very extensive.
Super extensive. Yeah. Also, it said that dinner promptly started at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that a thing? I never saw it.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving, it's always earlier, right?
I searched it. I Google searched it.
Ours was 2:30.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Usually earlier.
And there was like a whole, on foodnetwork.com, they had a whole thing saying like the proper time to start is 4 o'clock. So you're wrong.
Whoa.
Well, we were shooting for 2:30. We started at 4.
Yeah. So
2:34.
So here's the email from my brother with the subject line, Thanksgiving food plan. And then he said, bringing this all together, because there had been many emails tossed around from various family members.
Oh, I like that. So he was like, you know what? Let me just take it from here. Condense everything down into a readable form.
He said, as self-declared head chef for Thanksgiving,
amazing,
by virtue of having purchased the turkey fryer, I wanted to clarify what everyone is in charge of so we can avoid confusion and overlap since everyone wants to help.
And fry
which,
was,
by the way,
was
not a problem.
Fry was not underlined or italicized for the pun at all.
I love it.
No.
I love it.
Feel free to enlist help from others if you'd like, but these are the people in charge of the recipes since that's the one that we've purchased the ingredients for. Because my brother and I had already done the shopping.
Okay.
And people were like, well, I'm going to do this. And we're like, no, we bought for this. You don't get to do that.
You can't make Thai basil peanuts.
Yes.
We don't have peanuts.
So.
By the way, I should make
Allison,
some Thai basil peanuts because that sounds amazing.
That does sound amazing. So Allison, myself, I was in charge of appetizer veggies, cheese, and crackers.
Something easy for Allison to do, by the way.
Crushed my job.
Yeah.
My brother, Greg, was in charge of turkey, corn, and peas. My mother was in charge of mashed potatoes, gravy, carrots, and pies.
And guilt.
Honestly, yes.
Why don't you guys come back often enough? You're nailing your job, Mom.
My brother was also in charge of Brussels sprouts. I meant that. I should also say, I think I mentioned this.
Did you guys do the crazy Brussels sprouts?
No.
Where you actually peel every single sprout?
Oh, yes. Yes. They were like the shredded ones.
No,
like
it's not
crispy,
shredded.
The crispy, like flaky ones?
Yeah. I listened to it was like the Test Kitchen Thanksgiving podcast.
Okay.
Where they were like, if you're going to do Brussels sprouts, we figured out the best way to do Brussels sprouts. And you actually cut the end off the Brussels sprout and then you peel each individual leaf, almost like you're peeling a cabbage.
Sounds
very time consuming.
Yes.
But then you fry in oil those things, and they become super crispy. Ooh. Like that. And it takes
5 seconds.
I don't know.
I don't know how to Brussels
sprouts. Then it's like kale.
Well, it's like it's like it's like deep fried kale, yeah. But yeah.
That's easier to peel.
But that's taking away the essence of the Brussels sprout.
Yeah.
You mean the crap soul of the Brussels sprout?
I love Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts too, but my favorite part is the crispy bits on the side.
Well, everything's better when it's crispy.
Yeah, it's when it's fried on the outside.
All right, let me get through the Thanksgiving.
Speaking of which, I want to have some more ribs.
So I think I mentioned this, but my sister-in-law, Stacy, had knee surgery a few weeks before, so she was completely immobile on the couch. So she could not help with Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And much as I know as an honorary member of the Hayslip, that's a total Stacy move.
Total Stacy move. Come on. And so, but Stacy's cousin Maria was there for Thanksgiving, and she was in charge of the stuffing and the cranberry sauce. And then my father was in charge of beverages. Basically, my dad was in charge of making sure everyone's glass was filled throughout
the Marty
the day.
Of the party.
And then they have the cat Sunny that I've cat sat before, and he says Sunny is in charge of absolutely nothing. So that's the email for my
nothing.
And then it says for dinner timing, we are planning on sitting down for dinner at 4 p.m. So Jonathan texts me and he's like, "So what's the Hayslip Thanksgiving plan? Like, what are you in charge of?" So I literally just took a screenshot of this email and sent it to him, and he responds with, "What the fuck? Bruce isn't in charge of everything?"
Amazing.
Because he's only in charge of drinks. And then I took the screenshot of what my dad sent in response to this email, which was, "I am willing to step up, and on top of all of my other responsibilities, I am willing to entertain Sunny. No need to thank me." So my dad was also cat wrangler. And then Jonathan was like, "I'm so happy that I texted you."
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
That was the best part of my Thanksgiving.
was imagining was Allison's my family's Thanksgiving. Yeah. You're just sitting by yourself at a folding table thinking of... And he's got that cat wrangled man.
I swear.
Bruce is doing with Sunny right now.
I swear that when I talk to my parents, they ask about Jonathan more than they ask about like what's going on with my life. It's like, "So how's your friend Jonathan?"
That's amazing. Did you guys meet at some point?
Oh yeah, yeah. When my parents came out about a year ago.
Okay.
And they love
That's good,
Lethal Weapon.
Being
they...
in the closet is so bad.
Oh yes, I know. Everyone live their lives. Live your best life.
So dumb.
Parent closet.
No, my parents love Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's so, our demographic.
Yes. Yeah. Is parents.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Parents.
Female parents especially.
Yes.
Female parents.
So Jonathan was like, "Well, when your parents are out, I can take them on a set visit." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that'd be great." So we went and visited the set of Lethal Weapon.
Where do you guys shoot?
Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Right next to my house.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, my parents could not have been more charmed by this human being sitting in with us.
Well, that's not surprising. He's damn charming.
But also, it was like everything that was going on that day was also like especially fun.
Oh, cool.
And we got to, you know, go around the studio a little bit and see all the sets. And we got to meet everybody, basically.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Most of the cast.
My favorite part was you guys were shooting a scene. It was in a hospital, but someone had been attacked in a hospital and had their neck slit in the hospital.
Jeez.
Right, and was dead on the ground. And so
that was your episode. I've had the big, well, the only story arc I've had really was that.
Well, I mean, that was your Emmy. You like submit that one to the Emmys.
Yeah.
This is me. This is my show.
It was the one where I wasn't just showing up and like talking about the body. This one was like other stuff that you get a glimpse into his life, the character's life.
But the scene we watched was definitely you showing up and talking about the body. That's what I remember.
Technically, I have to do that, but is my job on the show.
But I was crying the whole time. I was trying to have an emotional core.
Yes. So we...
Oh my God, this
I was
body!
Trying to have an emotional core.
So me and my parents, and my uncle was actually with us too, we are getting to watch this scene being filmed from Video Village. And Video Village, if you don't know, is where like the producers sit and they watch it on monitors.
Yeah.
So they're not like watching the actual actors. They're watching the cameras so they know what the shots are looking like. And we're standing behind them. And so they're setting up the shot on this guy who's playing dead on the ground with his neck slit.
He had a fork in his neck.
Oh, he got stabbed in the neck. That's
it. The episode title was "Fork Get About It."
No!
Because there's a whole mob tie-in.
Yeah.
Classic.
Classic. So, we're sitting behind all of the executive producers of Lethal Weapon, and my dad is like looking at the monitor over their shoulder, and he just goes, "If someone got stabbed in the neck, there would be a lot more blood. They need more blood." And I'm like, "Dad, shut up. Like, the people who make these decisions are right in front of you. Also, it's network TV. You're not allowed to put that much blood on network TV. Yeah.
And then cut to the blood guy that walked away very slowly and sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, "Oh, man, I put so much blood on the ground. Not enough blood. I guess Mr. Blood's over there.
Why'd I go to school for blood dropping?
Yeah.
He doesn't know about blood hydraulics like I do."
Blood hydraulics.
But Jonathan, you also got to shoot another like you got to shoot like another cool movie this summer.
Oh, cool movie.
I did.
Yeah.
That'd be great if you're like, I did not.
No, no.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I did. It was, man, I don't know how much time. I'll tell you briefly.
You have time.
Yeah, okay, good. The way this came together was nuts.
Yeah, I love this story.
Yeah, I got the script sent to me by my agent. That's, you know, just a normal thing that happens. And I read it and I was like, okay, cool. And I found out that the short that it was derived from went to Sundance.
Mm.
So I said, let me see the short.
Yeah.
So they sent it over to me and I knew that it was like a low budget indie thing that shot in Philly somewhere. And I watched the short and I asked my wife, I was like, you want to watch the short with me? She was like, sure. We sat down, started watching it. And when the credits started rolling, the opening credits, the name Bill Crossland came up and she's like, oh, that's weird. I have a neighbor from back home named Bill Crossland. I was like, this shoots in Philly, which is where my wife's from.
What?
And so we like looked him up and it was like the same dude. And she used to babysit for like his whole family across the street, across the street from her.
Weird. How insane is that?
And so I emailed Bill and I was like, hey, you don't know me. I'm so-and-so. I got your script. It's great. I'm also married to Lauren Domenico. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and
your
I was like,
neighbor?
Exactly. And so I was like, regardless of what happens, you know, good luck. And I would love to introduce myself next time I'm there. Cause I've been, I mean, Lauren and I have been together for 15 years. So I've been in that neighborhood for literally half my life almost.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so then he reaches back to me and was like, that's crazy. Let's get on a Skype to meet. And the casting people all figured everything out. And then I was like for three weeks in the summer, I was like living with my father-in-law, commuting across the street to go to work to shoot at the house.
That's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then ready for the other small world story about this film?
Yeah, this
is the greatest. So I've already talked about how I just recently shot this indie film called Alan the Dog.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the guy who is the co-star with me is Sam Daly, who's been a buddy of mine for a while. And back in the middle of the year, Sam and I were in this workshop together. And while we're doing this workshop, he's like, I just booked this really cool indie film. I'm like, oh, awesome. He's like, yeah, so I have to go to Philadelphia for a week to go shoot it. I'm like, rad. Sounds great. And he's like telling me what it's about. And I'm like, that sounds awesome. And then like a few days later, Jonathan and I are texting and we're trying to find time to meet up. And he's like, well, I'm actually about to leave town. I'm going to Philadelphia for 3 weeks to shoot this indie film. And I went, wait, is it about this teacher who does this, this, and this? And he goes, how the hell did you know that? I'm like, you're shooting with my buddy Sam Daly. And he's like, what?
It was so weird. Everything about it was like so cosmically linked.
That's crazy. Did you already shoot? Was it this summer that you shot it?
Yeah. Yeah, we did it this summer. And it was interesting to be just like in that area without my wife for so long.
Yeah.
You know, I get along, like, I love my in-laws. We get along famously. But it was just so funny to be like in the living room, like on my computer, and then them coming home from work and be like, hey, I'm supposed to be here for all this time.
Yeah.
And like Lauren's not around. It was so interesting.
What did she have to do that was so important? She can be there with you shooting a movie.
I told her. I was like, our relationship is riding on this.
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously, what was she doing? She's right there.
She's a floral designer, and she was she has floral commitments.
Floral commitments, by the way, great indie band.
Yeah.
And now we just
favorite for the cranberries, the floral
commitments.
Can we pitch her Instagram? Because she has such a gorgeous Instagram. It's not private.
It's not private. My wife.
It's not private.
I didn't know. I follow her on Instagram, but I didn't know if it was a private account or not.
My wife is an amazing floral designer.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that not because we're married, but because when you see her designs, they look very different from the ones that you just casually see anywhere.
Yeah.
They're very specific, and she's a great artist. And it's at Yellow Bow Florals.
Yellow Bow Florals.
Yes. And it's a great gift. Yeah. It's a great thank you gift. It's a great. I mean, we've been sending them all over town.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're super gorgeous.
Yeah.
I like super gorgeous stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we open a
package?
We
have to open something. Yeah. Mm.
Let's take a break and then get a package and open it.
That defeats everything we talked about prior to this episode, but we can do that.
We make up the rules as we go.
I was thinking
is it time to take a break?
Yep.
We're going to take a break and open this package and then we'll be right back.
Great. All right, we're back.
And we're back. We're doing a shot of the beautiful.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a shot.
We're back.
On air?
Yeah, we're on air.
Don't pay attention.
Like, we're live.
Check. Cheers.
Drunksmith's
day three.
This is the bourbon that Michael sent us. Thank you.
So now this is drink four and still on shot one.
I think it's watered down.
Now this is drink four and shot two.
Yeah, two shots.
All right.
We've done...
That's the second shot we've done.
But we've had other beers.
Oh, third drink. This is episode three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was episode four.
Oh, you just confused the shit out of me. Sorry. I was like,
Where am I?
Anyway.
All right, I'm opening this gift. Here's the card. Merry Drunksmith 4-H crew.
That's
us. Hello, Slippy. I'm reading it, though, so it doesn't work. It's from Jeff. Just in case you guys don't already have a Christmas tree, I present to you the official Charlie Brown Drunksmith Christmas tree.
Oh, is it
Jeff Holland from Cheap Chesapeake? I was almost said Cheapskate, Virginia.
Yeah.
Chesapeake.
Hey.
Insult the guy.
What's up? What's up, Ashley?
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh.
At least that's not that's a place name, not a person
Cheapskate,
name.
Cheapskate, Virginia.
Look at this chintzy gift from Cheapskate, Virginia.
Cheapskate, Virginia.
Sorry.
You know, my favorite crabs are from Cheapskate.
Why is this? Oh, there we go.
They're all very scrawny.
What do you want for nothing?
That's what she said.
Oh, look, it's literally a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
All right, we got to put that up.
Oh, it's a sad tree.
I mean, speaking of things we definitely don't have the rights to, it's that song.
Well, we sang it so badly, we can get away with it.
Yeah. Change the pitches.
Oh, God. Oh, it's like I broke it.
Allison broke the tree.
Oh, there
you
go.
He just pulls out from that.
Yep. Okay, this is amazing.
You just got to pull it out from the thing.
This is awesome. Should we get to an email while I'm setting up the tree?
Email.
Yes.
Yes. That's cool. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, look at this. It's so cute.
Yeah, I dig it. And it's cute. It is the sad Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Yeah.
It's even sadder in person.
Yeah.
It's really pathetic.
Does it have the one? Yeah, it has the one ornament.
Yeah.
This is going to be
Charlie
amazing.
Brown was such a loser.
By the way, man. I just realized we haven't opened any small Lego kits for you to undo.
Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. So.
Oh, yeah.
A thought for Allison about Scarlett.
Oh, my car.
Your car.
Yeah.
So we renamed Allison's car Scarlet.
The Mini Cooper.
The Mini Cooper. My Mini Cooper is British Racing Green. But I said, people were like, have you chosen a name? And I was like, well, no, but I keep calling her. And Alex was like the movie with Scarlett Johansson. And I was like, actually, it would be really funny if I called my car Scarlet because it's definitely not Scarlet.
Right.
So now that's kind of.
But here's an email from Elwin.
Oh, from Elwin,
Won
the
Right, which is why I remember he won the thing. So,
that's so funny.
Hey guys, Elwin here.
Yeah. Hi Elwin,
Allison.
Sorry. I already said hi.
Yeah. FYI, Scarlett O'Hara did dress up for a formal dinner in a green dress made from curtains in Gone with the Wind.
True.
So you could have a fancy green car named Scarlett.
Yes. O'Hara.
Right.
Scarlett.
Because she had the.
Wait, is it Scarlett O'Kara?
God damn it. I think it is now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Scarlett O'Kara.
And then he said, besides, you're Allison Hayslip, do whatever you friggin' want.
Yeah, true.
Also, that, you're welcome, Elwin.
Yeah. See, I like it.
I dig that.
Jonathan, have you named your car? You have a sweet Jeep Wrangler.
We've only on the the insurance company thing, they have like on the website, it asks you nicknames for your cars for
really?
Some reason. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so we nicknamed ours Cher because the reason we got it is because it's a white Wrangler from Clueless, which is what Cher Silverstone drove.
I thought you were calling it Cher because you guys both share the car.
That's a very specific
thing.
The State Farm people are reading this like, that's the lamest nickname.
Yeah. You're a virgin and you can't drive. Isn't that from Clueless?
It is.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
I called my green Saturn Rudy after Rudy.
Oh,
Notre
the
Dame.
Movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
And then it died on me. So,
Just like Rudy.
Aww.
Just like thing. I don't even know.
Rudy, the character, is probably dead by now.
Yeah.
Rudy Ruediger? He might not be.
Daniel J. Rudy. He's still alive, actually. Yeah.
That movie.
But who cares? His career's dead. He had one game.
That was his career
for 8 seconds.
Yeah. He probably did. He probably teaches PE or something.
No, he makes money off autograph sessions.
He makes money off autographs?
Yeah.
Is that a thing we could do?
What?
Yeah. Allison does it.
Allison does it.
Probably.
I don't make money off of autographs.
I do.
I mean, I do.
I sell Allison's autographs.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. If you want creepy boudoir photos of Allison signed by Tom, you can get that. He's got his Etsy page. That's great.
Oh, you got
Patreon. It takes pictures of you from behind your back and then signs them himself.
Oh,
Tom.
You guys, wait. I put together our sound.
Yay.
That is beautiful.
Nice.
Thank you, Jeff from Cheapskate.
And the Peanuts, as it pointed out to Aristotle, Peanuts and Charlie Brown is coming back on Apple. That's one of Apple's new shows.
Well,
yeah, so they're
here's
back
the thing.
On cartoon.
If any of those things come out,
Yeah, okay.
Because by the way, did you guys all hear? Well, but did you guys all hear that YouTube stopped doing any original programming?
Yeah.
So what about Karate Kid? That's like the best show in the world.
So they're gonna keep doing Karate Kid, but just Karate Kid, and they're gonna make all of their. Did we talk about this on the show?
I don't know.
No, we talked about it.
They get rid of Cobra Kai.
We talked about it.
They're gonna make all of their premium programming available for free.
For free with ads, just the way that YouTube basically does. But they're not gonna spend any money on scripted shows.
Yeah.
I mean, they go through the cycle. Google goes through the cycle all the time. It's like they just. It's not. And the next shoe to drop is probably going to be Facebook. Nobody's watching their Facebook Watch stuff and they spend a lot of money. And that's the problem is they go out because they have a bunch of money. They go out and buy, like acquire these big pitches that everybody's trying to acquire. And the only question mark is Apple. And I've talked about this a lot, which is like, how do we do the, we have another delivery. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that was the big question mark for me is how is Apple going to deliver, right? What is the distribution model for Apple? It could be that now in the TV section, there's an episode of Lethal Weapon for 99 cents.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what's
just
there's an
episode should be like $10.
Yeah, it's a, pretty,
Andre,
a good show.
Oh, wait, time out. Andre Jenkins?
It just said
Andre J. Andre J. Do we know what it is? What is it? You can just open it.
Yeah.
You don't have to guess. You don't have to use your x-ray vision.
So white bag with contents.
I feel like it might be. Is it sushi?
Food?
I feel like Andre's the one who always sends sushi.
Sushi? That's going to be rad for this.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the hell out of that sushi if that's sushi.
So anyway, so it could be that like a Twilight Zone episode is, or Amazing Stories, let's say. Amazing Stories episode is 99 cents in the same place. Mm-hmm. Or do they give that content away for free and have ad subscription? Or do they do like, well, you get all of these shows for free if you have a subscription to Apple Music.
Dumplings,
even better.
That's what he says.
So anyway, so big question mark, but lots of other stuff.
Because also YouTube, just they are going to roll out stories like Instagram does.
Oh, really?
Where it's like top however many YouTubers.
YouTubers.
Oh, man. So maybe they're more interested now in just like getting to be more of like a social media
site. The social meds, as I called it.
I've said this on the show a lot. I think YouTube's biggest problem is they hate being YouTube.
Yeah. Right.
Like they hate the thing that makes them billions of dollars.
Right.
They don't want to be, they are the place you go to see a kid fall over. Or my favorite thing, which by the way, if you guys have not seen, it was the most amazing thing.
Oh, no.
The majestic deer. It was in somebody's backyard, and then somehow, for some reason, decides it's going
to
go up
to the front
door, small plastic slide, and then out the back down the plastic stairs. And it's literally, it is an open backyard and just this one thing. And the deer's just like, I guess I'll go. And it just loses its shit. But it sounds like the drum solo from the Feel It in the Night Tonight. So somebody said it to that song. So it's just like this deer. And it's like, I can feel it coming in the air. And this deer is just slowly walking towards this plastic
thing. Oh, my God. I need to look this episode.
And then as soon as it gets to the drum, it's just this deer going, and then falling out the other side. And then the song continues.
That's amazing.
That
I hope Phil Collins has seen that.
That is the genius that is YouTube.
And Johnny YouTube.
Oh my God.
And Johnny YouTube hates it. They're like, why does everybody only think of us when they get thinking and hit in the nuts? And you're like, boss, because we make heaven $75 billion a year on that nut hit. And they're like, I want Sandra Bullock in something.
She doesn't have nuts.
Yeah, we can't kick her in the nuts. We've tried. God damn it, I'm Johnny YouTube. Get me some Sandra Bullock nuts in here.
Okay, wait. I have a segue into a good story.
Oh, my God.
That has to do, I mean, not just YouTube, but like social media in general. So this is something I looked up, and I was like, this is fucking amazing. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but a professor challenged his class to go viral for an assignment, and they did.
Ooh.
So this is a professor who is teaching a class on media. Well, no, on media and talking about social media and about how we've talked about this on the show, how companies are like, we make a viral video for us. And you're like, you can't make a viral.
I used to work at a place when I still had a day job that there were biweekly meetings about how to make the next viral video.
Jeez. Yeah, and you can't.
No, and they would
Dollar Shave Club.
But
They were like, Dollar Shave Club can do it. Why can't we?
But they didn't mean to.
Yeah, they would bring up these other ones. They're like, let's do something like this. And it's like, that you can't do a copycat video on this. Yeah. Nobody's going to watch it.
Yeah, right. Because it's been done.
Exactly.
So this is at Missouri State University. The course is called The Fundamentals of Media Convergence. And he told the objective in assigning the project was to show how difficult it is to go viral. And it is an assignment designed to be failed. Like, you're supposed to fail it because then the discussion is about why you can't make a viral video.
So it's the Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, there
but,
you go.
Nerd alert.
But this one girl, this one girl recruited four of the other students in her class and her professor and made this video that she made like a short little like 20-second video where she just pans across the classroom and it's only these five students. Like, it's clearly an empty classroom with only five students, and everyone has like a goodie bag in front of them, and then it pans to the front of the classroom and the professor is sitting there looking really sad with a bunch of goodie bags in front of him, and she just put the caption, "Our professor threw a party today instead of the final, but nobody showed up." Meaning like nobody came to the final, and really the trick was that you were supposed to be getting a party and the professor was so sad that no one showed up. And it went viral. And people like people started emailing the professor like feeling so bad for him and like, "I'm crying while I'm watching this video." But it was completely staged. The whole thing was staged, and it actually went viral.
Stupid professor should have put the caveat of like, "You can't do anything that will tug at heartstrings."
Yeah.
But
no dogs.
But that's not the point.
Yeah,
no, like, the point is like clearly.
Military person
this is
seeing
what
dog
he
after
then,
10 years.
I know, right? But he's like, "This is what I've now taught the class is like, people are easily manipulated when it is a heartstrings thing." Yeah. We don't bother to check if it's real. If it makes
us
feel...
Well, we don't bother to check if anything on the internet's real.
I know,
real.
But it's like, if something makes us feel emotional, we immediately share it, assuming that like, there's no way we can be conned into feeling emotional, you know? Right. But like, that's what it was. It was totally fake. And it wasn't until the actual university Twitter account got wind of the video and tweeted it, being like, "We all love you, Professor so
and
so."
Yeah, and he was like,
"That they were like,
no,
okay,
sorry,
time
that
out.
Was a."
Why isn't the president of Missouri or wherever saying like,
Missouri
why are
University?
Why are you canceling finals? Do your job.
No,
why are you giving out presents to your student?
By the way, that's something that the professor comes out and says. He's like, "People should have known this was fake for many reasons. One being like, why was no one concerned that I wasn't doing my job?"
That's so funny. Well, they were just so concerned at how sad you were with all those extra giddy bags.
I know.
It's too many extra giddy bags for one person.
I know, but this whole story.
That poor man's so sad he's got so many giddy bags.
So he also believes, he's like, the people who shared it and just being like, "I'm crying, whatever." He's like,
"I'm crying, whatever."
But no, he's literally like, he's like, "I don't think these are people having genuine reactions. I think these are people who are sharing it to get the reactions from it. Like they're using it selfishly."
It's LOL. It's LOL.
Yeah.
I write LOL when I'm like,
Yeah, totally.
LOL means I'm
laughing out loud. Yeah.
Sometimes people are like, "Raffle," which means I'm rolling on the floor.
Right. And you're not.
Laughing out loud. Rolling on the floor. And I'm like,
Yeah.
But I will send that to be like, that's how I think this is funny. Same thing. It's like, "Oh yeah, I can see how that would be emotional. Isn't this emotional?"
Yeah. But then he goes on to say that the people, like, because a few hundred people actually found his email address and emailed him to be like, "I'm supporting you," whatever, blah, blah, blah.
It's professor@college.com.
But he was like,
"Why do I get so many emails for so many other professors?"
Like, why do I get so many?
And he said, he's like, "I think those people are people who had like,
not a lot
legitimate
of high school questions."
He's like, "I think those people had legitimate emotional reactions to it." But then he says, "I'm not trying to be an asshole. People are manipulated emotionally by things they are seeing every day by people who are paid a lot of money to do that. And then as a nation, we need to wise up." And he's like, "All those people who sent that email need to apply a little bit more critical thinking to the media they're seeing." He's like, "I think they're being genuine, but they have to understand they're having a genuine reaction to something that is not genuine."
Yeah.
And the media got wind of this and they put out a hit on this professor.
Yeah.
I hope not.
He's spreading.
It's poor
getting
news.
Too close. He's getting too close.
Too close. Yeah.
I know.
There's like an advertising executive opens a chart and it's just his picture and he's like, "We got to do something."
And then the story ends saying with all the students who were involved in the making of that project got A's because clearly they actually passed when they were supposed to not. Wow.
And they got all of the goodie bags.
But what was
it?
What was in those goodie bags? I
want to
know.
By the way, it's probably fake candy now that I know this. It's the moon landing all over again.
It was literally just broccoli. Broccoli in the goodie bag.
He was like, "No wonder he's so sad. He had, now he's got too much broccoli."
He took the time to steam that broccoli.
Yeah, he was like, "I want this out of here. Fucking broccoli."
Yeah.
That's amazing.
How are we doing on time? Do we have time for another story?
We're 8.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, let's do another story. You want to do one else?
Oh, God, I do. I mean, I don't, but I do.
I can do one.
No, I mean, it's because I have the story. You want to do one?
Sure, I'll do a quick one.
Tom will do one.
You probably may have heard this. KFC creates fried chicken scented fire log.
No, what?
What?
Kentucky Fried Chicken is getting into the holiday spirit with an unusual product, a fire log designed to smell like fried chicken.
Oh, God, I hate it.
The KFC 11 Herbs and Spices fire log.
The 11 Herbs and Spices. Yeah.
Is this true? Did you look this up on Snopes?
No.
No, but he has been coming in the mail.
They sold out. Yeah, they...
Really?
Yeah. So it says the log is available for $18.99 while supplies last. Anywhere. Comes with an important disclaimer.
Anywhere is not an answer.
Comes with an important...
Hey, if you have $19, I'll give you one.
Yeah.
You can buy it anywhere.
How long does it last, I wonder?
Let's see. It doesn't say.
I wonder if it's one of those hour-long logs. That's a lot of KFC smell.
Yeah, and it says the disclaimer
on it. Longer than your meal will actually be.
Yeah, you're like... I think I'm done. I think I'm done.
Put on the log that smells like mashed potatoes.
Where's the biscuit log? Throw a biscuit log on there. This is really just too much. It's too much.
It's okay.
Is it extra crispy or original? If it's extra crispy, it like just popping sounds.
If it smelled like Popeye's fried chicken, I'd be down. But yeah, it comes with a disclaimer. Please don't put face directly into fire in an attempt to smell fried chicken.
Oh my God, dude.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. But that would drive me insane if my whole house just smelled like fried chicken the
By the
entire
way,
time.
I feel this way about certain scented candles.
Well, right. If you, if like
I'll walk
pine.
Into a room, like Heather will have a candle going. My wife Heather will have a candle going.
I know
going,
who your wife.
And I'll walk into a room and just be like, no.
Sometimes it's too strong.
Yeah, I'm like no.
Like when you go to a place like the Bath and Body Works, that it's like too.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Oh,
way
yeah.
too much.
Yes. Although it's a place to go if you're being chased by like a werewolf or something that you want to go into. You know,
because it overwhelms their senses.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that things remembered.
That is
so
fucking smart.
Nice.
Wait, that legitimately needs to get written into some sort of horror
mirror,
movie.
Mirror. Picture frame.
Like business card holder.
Break into a Bed Bath & Beyond to escape a werewolf.
I just watch the wolf like sniff a million candles.
That's what, this is like a Shaun of the Dead movie right now.
Yeah, let's do it. We should be
that
doing
is
that.
Hilarious. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to say that my favorite, and I know it's like designed for guys, which makes me mad that I like it so much.
Right.
There's a leather and tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
no,
that smell is just super cool.
Yeah.
It's like I feel like I'm doing something important.
Well,
even though I'm still watching TV.
I think smells that are like pine
yeah,
scents.
Yeah, I'm
more
something.
Intelligent. Yeah.
Or oh, whatever. Great. Or like cranberry is fine. But when you have scents that are like pumpkin pie, I'm like, no, yeah. I don't want my house to smell like
vanilla
something
is a hard
I can
one.
Eat.
Yeah. Vanilla is a hard one.
Also because many of them aren't exactly like that anyway.
Yeah.
Like, few of them are, like, spot on. Like, this is, you know, s'mores. Like, I can smell each component of the s'more.
Yeah.
Thing. It's really just like chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know, we've talked about this, I think, on the show before, but like the things that are grape flavored don't actually taste like grapes ever.
By the way, speaking of which,
it just tastes like purple.
I had meatballs.
So good.
We've just
purple
agreed
tastes
that
so
purple,
purple
tastes,
tastes
like
this.
Like
what grape is.
Yeah.
I had meatballs last night at a holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like you buy a sack of
meatballs last night at a holiday party.
Wait. Holiday party. I too had meatballs.
Whoa.
I made meatballs for a holiday party last night.
This is amazing.
Did we all eat Tom's meatballs?
But the meatballs, the way they made the meatballs.
Oh, yeah, we were at Tom's house.
We were at Tom's house. Why are we even having this conversation?
We were
all there. I was like, may I remind you about the meatballs we all had that Tom made so eloquently? And yes, he was very eloquent.
Eloquently
made meatballs.
Meatballs. They really did speak to us.
But
though.
Really love it. But the meatballs were amazing. And I was like, how did you make them? And he goes, it's frozen meatballs. You just throw frozen meatballs in a slow cooker with barbecue sauce and grape jelly.
Grape
I've heard many
jelly.
People
yes.
doing that. Yeah.
And it is fantastic because it gives you that almost teriyaki flavor. And there's like a sheen. You know what I mean?
You want that nice meatball sheen.
It's that mahogany sheeny meatball. It's like
your
mahogany
shellacked
sheen.
Meatball.
The lost sheen brother.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, we don't talk about mahogany. He's super fucked up.
Charlie and mahogany sheen.
Yeah, mahogany sheen.
Mahogany sheen. And on that note,
dying.
All right.
We should probably call
Jonathan,
it.
Tell the peoples where they can find you.
Oh, sure. J-Than Prime. Is all the things
like Optimus Prime?
J-Than,
yeah,
Prime.
Ooh, I like
J-Than
it.
One, yeah, for sure, exactly like that. And I mostly only use Instagram, although I'm dangerously close to quitting.
Quitting Instagram?
Why?
Yeah,
I like your.
It makes
your
me sad.
It does.
It brings me no joy.
I get that. I feel like that's a. I've stopped really doing any of that stuff, and now I have that timer, that thing on the new iOS.
Yeah, the screen time
that tells me how much time, and so I'm just trying to keep. I'm just trying to whittle that down.
Yeah.
Pooping
is
the hardest.
Or is this a ploy to engage with someone emotionally so they'll start following me?
Yeah.
Because what we just learned throughout the theme of this episode.
Oh my God, this is your broccoli goodie bag.
Yeah.
I love it.
Instagram makes me so sad. I just want...
Nobody's there to say hi to me. Yeah,
well, they should at least follow your wife on Instagram, which is Yellow Bow Florals.
That you should do. Yeah, Yellow Bow Florals. Way more...
Florist or florals?
Sorry, Yellow Bow Florals. It's way more important than my stupid one.
Amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. And they can catch you on Lethal Weapons. Lethal Weapons?
Lethal Weapons.
Although, it's hilarious you said that. So... Any Making a Murderer fans out there?
Oh my God, yes, of course.
Have you watched the second season?
Yes, of course.
So,
obsessed.
So Brandon Dassey, right?
Dassey.
He has a conversation on the phone with his mom, I think, in the second. I haven't seen it yet. But she's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm watching my favorite show, Lethal Weapons.
Oh, he does say that.
He says Lethal Weapons?
He totally says that. Yes, amazing. I remember that.
Wow. And then I was like, I was talking to the cast member. I was like, maybe, because I thought he was out of jail. I thought that they figured his part out.
No, dude, no. That's the thing when you watch season two, is you are like, clearly, and I said this on the show, to me, it seems like neither one of them are guilty at all.
Yeah.
But even if for some reason it does turn out that they did do it, they should not be in jail at all.
In this way.
Because
this
justice system has failed them miserably.
Yeah, Manitowoc, don't commit crimes there.
No.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
But the, and I bring that up because I... was speaking with a co-star, and I was like, maybe we should send him like a signed poster or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, but what if he did it? What if he finds out the minute he gets it,
Charles Manson having you on the back of his wall signed. You're like,
season three
man.
Is like about him getting caught and also showing his Lethal Weapons sign.
Lethal Weapons. But that's
this
what
you do. This is my new Lethal Weapons friend. I totally murdered all those people.
Sharpie in an S at the end of it, and then you can be like, but it's not actually our
show.
It's
not the actual
show. Yeah.
That is the non-shot spinoff pilot.
They look closer and they're like, this is just signed by Tom.
Why is there a creepy picture of Allison in her underwear?
All right, full circle. We got to stop.
All right, you guys, if you want to email us at halfhourhappyhrfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr. Subscribe to us and rate us on whatever you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Tune in. Boom. And that is it for day four of the 12 Days of Drunksmith, brought to you by the... Oh, shit. I fucked it up.
We'll forgive you.
It's because I've drank so much. I can't believe it's only day three.
Oh, geez.
That is it for day three of the 12 Days of Drunksmith, brought to you by the half-hour happy hour with Allison and Alex. I am Allison Hayslip.
I'm Alex Albrecht. Sitting in with us, as always, the lovely and talented Tom Super Volcano Krajewski.
Hey,
big thank you to Jonathan Fernandez.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, guys. Always
lethal weapons.
Always fun. Yeah, lethal weapons.
It's a good show.